And welcome to Shattering This, the program devoted to the largest segment of society. To those of you who have come to realize that the world's political, religious, economic, and media institutions are corrupt, and are beginning to realize that the world's military institutions are similarly flawed, that they have all become counterproductive, and that not one of them can be fixed. Our phone number, if you'd like to participate in this discussion anytime over the next 3 hours, 877-300-7645. I don't know if many of you have been following it, but I've been in the East Coast here for the last, no one's following the fact that I'm in the East Coast, but the story is an East Coast story. It's in a little town called Charlottesville, Virginia. That's where I've been hanging out here for the last month. I'll be here for another week or so. And in Charlottesville, it's known for the University of Virginia, the university that Thomas Jefferson designed and built over 200 years ago. And the university was exposed in a Rolling Stone article. And we're not talking about the being exposed in the New York Times or the Washington Post. No, it was New York's. Right, it was a Rolling Stone article. And in the article, the journalist was looking for a university to expose and condemn. And she wanted a story that involved fraternity houses. That was really important. She wanted a university that's in violation of Title IX sexual assault contention, which is 89 major universities, I think, across the country. And she chose the University of Virginia because there was a student here that told a lurid story. Now, I do not know if the young woman's story is true, but she claims that while she was a freshman, a Phi Psi, which is a kind of a privileged fraternity at the University of Virginia, asked her out to a fraternity party and took her out, nice dinner, took her to the party, loud drinking, loud music, drinking in the party. And he said, you know, it's kind of loud down here. You want to go upstairs? And, you know, upstairs in a fraternity house, I lived in a fraternity house for 4 years, means, well, I'm up to no good. There's only bedrooms upstairs in almost all fraternity houses. And she may have been a little drunk. There was, there's a habit of the worst fraternity spiking punch. Now, I will tell you that even in my day, a long time ago, spiking punch was considered the ultimate low-class act. We just didn't do it. We wouldn't do it, didn't do it. Taking advantage of a intoxicated girl was considered completely inappropriate. Low-class. You just don't do it. We really tried to uphold a reasonable standard. We were a bunch of guys together, yeah, and we occasionally got into mischief. And truly, we drank too much, and we probably partied a little too hard. But overall, it was a bunch of great guys. Well, I don't know the character of the Phi Psi fraternity, but anyway, this girl made a bad decision. She went to a fraternity party with somebody she hardly knew, and when she drank out of an open container. In other words, rather than what they teach, particularly girls, to do at a large party. If you're going to go to a large party, A, never go alone. And she made that mistake. And B, never drink out of just a plastic cup that's been dipped into a punch or that sort of thing. If you're going to drink, make certain that it's a can or bottle and that you've seen it opened. Because it is, under those circumstances, it's very difficult to put in a date rape drug. Well, she made that mistake as well. Then she went upstairs. And upstairs, she claims that she was pushed into a dark room by the very guy that asked her out, somebody that she knew not well, but I mean, she was acquainted with, knew his name. Pushed into a dark room, and there she was grabbed and thrown against a glass table, breaking the table and cutting up her back. Then somebody was told to hold her arm, someone told to hold her legs, and there were five or six guys in the room, she claims, and that over a course of 3 hours they raped her. That's the Rolling Stones article. Now, what's interesting about this is, I've spent a lot of time around fraternities. I've spent a lot of time in fraternities. I am a member of the Kappa Sig fraternity. I have never heard of a girl being raped in a fraternity house. Now, it's not to say that girls aren't raped in fraternity houses. But I've never witnessed it, never even heard of it. And I know that it did not happen at my fraternity or anywhere along the fraternity row of my university, which is larger than the University of Virginia. It's just, that's extraordinarily rare if it happens. And that this idea of gang rape, too, is what she presented, that all the guys had to rape her to prove that they were brothers. No. Now, I understand that morals have changed a lot. And morals have changed a lot in a lot of ways. One is that girls are a lot more promiscuous than they used to be. Boys have always, kind of been promiscuous, but they're probably slightly more so, and girls are a lot more so. And while guys have always drunk a lot at when they go away to school, now girls are drinking as much, if not more, as the guys are. And so we have entered a different phase in terms of male-female relationships. And we enter a very, very litigious culture. But she claims she was gang raped. If that's happened, that's a crime. And everybody involved should be prosecuted. Because it was a fraternity and they did it as brothers, the fraternity ought to be disbanded and each individual spend considerable time in jail. However, this young woman did not go to the hospital to get a rape test. She did not go to the police. She claims she was badly injured, raped over 3 hours, left there laying on the glass shards and woke up at like 2 or 3 a.m. and that she called her friends rather than her parents or the police. Now, with me there, I'm calling 911. That's my first call. They left me with my cell phone. My first call is 911. I want the police to find me in that room. I want them to come get me out of that room. 911 is the first call I'd make. She didn't do that. She didn't call the police at all. Didn't call the hospital. Didn't even call her parents. She called a couple of friends. They came, and her claim is that when she told them what happened and she's all cut up, that they negotiated among themselves. We can't take her to the hospital. If we take her to the hospital, then we'll never be accepted in a fraternity because we ratted out another fraternity for raping a girl. Now, that mindset is asinine. I'm going to tell you that when I was in a fraternity, and I have my own point of reference here since I spent 4 years in a fraternity, that if I got wind that heard of the fact that another fraternity had raped a girl, particularly a gang rape, we would do everything we could as a fraternity to clean up that other fraternity by turning them over not only to the university but the police. We did not protect other fraternities if they did that kind of behavior. Now, I want to tell you one time, New Year's day late in the day after the Rose Parade had finished and they brought all the folks to a resting place in Pasadena where you could go witness them and see them if you wanted to. A group of guys in my fraternity went off and we hijacked the Pac-10 Rose Bowl float. Didn't damage it, but we pulled it all the way from Pasadena to Fraternity Row and put all the roses in front of a sorority house. We thought that was pretty funny. But, you know, made the front page of the Los Angeles Times when we did it. But sexually assaulting a girl and doing so as a group of brothers, that would have been so revolting to us, we would have absolutely turned the other fraternity in. Now, these guys says, you know, if we take her to the hospital and they get prosecuted for rape, then the fact is that, you know, we'll never be able to rush any fraternity. So she's got friends that she called that are negotiating whether or not they can get into a fraternity if they take the girl to the hospital. Now, again, it's part of a lot of a rushes. And if a there is a 0% chance that these guys would be slathered with a stigma that says, boy, they went to a girl's aid that had been gang raped, and they were her friends, and they helped this girl through a difficult process of being gang raped. Therefore, that's not the kind of guy we would be interested in. Now, I'll tell you, if we knew that someone had been called by a girl that had been abused, that needed help, and they refused to help her, oh, they wouldn't get past the front door during rush. So what they claimed was the antithesis of the way that any rational fraternity would determine whether or not somebody was going to be a brother. But anyway, she didn't go to the hospital, not that night, not for ever, as an association with this. She didn't call the police, not that night, from what I've read, never. She went to Dean a year after it happened. But she'll tell the whole story to Rolling Stone, with no one to check the facts. Now, I tell you that I'm telling you this story, and I could have shared it with you last week. And again, if the story that she told is true, then the participated in that rape spend the next 20 years in jail. I hope that the fraternity that they operated as a gang of thugs in is forever loses his charter at the University of Virginia. But what happened next is amazing. So the big, fat, ugly blob of an incompetent buffoon that is the president of the University of Virginia, her name is Teresa Sullivan. She is an absolute and disgusting moron. She says that the right way to deal with this, now this is a story, that there are no parties who are guilty of anything at this point that we can determine. I mean, this isn't you're innocent until proven guilty. There is no indictment. There is no investigation. There's been no anything here. Nothing. All you've got is an anonymous person's interview with a low-class newspaper. And so the moron of a president for the University of Virginia, someone obviously unqualified for this job, announced that she's suspending all fraternities and all sororities. That's like saying, you know, there was an accident on the interstate. So what we're going to do is we're going to shut down all the interstates. Some ships discharge waste into the ocean, so let's shut down all shipping. You've probably heard there's a bad guy down there that's a quarterback of Florida State. So let's cancel all college sports. You know, the most prevalent place for rape, sexual assault in the United States is in the U.S. military. Shut it down. Why not, huh? You know, I've heard that rape is prevalent in America's penal institutions. Let's release all the inmates. I mean, why not? It's the same logic as Teresa Sullivan. In fact, if you believe Teresa Sullivan, the fraternity behavior is so egregious that you've got to shut down the sororities, which were the ones victimized by the fraternities. Now, by the way, the group that's the gang that should be dismissed is the administration. This girl claims, and this part of it I believe, and by the way, I have no basis of doubting or of believing her story. I can tell you, before I tell you what she did with the university administration a year later, I can tell you that any time there is an unsubstantiated claim, as there is on this one, and this one is wholly unsubstantiated, what I will typically do is to say, was the person's response reasonable? Would if you put yourself in their situation, is there any chance that you would respond the way that they claim? And in this circumstance, this young lady, who was a straight-A student in high school, honor student all the way through, very responsible girl, never been in an ounce of trouble. She is a freshman at the University of Virginia. She knows two of the perpetrators. She knows she's going to see them on a regular basis. And you're going to walk out of that fraternity after being thrown through a glass tabletop, bleeding, and gang raped for 3 hours by people you're going to see on a regular basis over the next 4 years, and you're going to do nothing? That every time you see them, they're going to laugh at you because you did nothing? Not a chance. Not a chance. I mean, if you were this girl, and you were thrown back by six guys through a plate glass table, and then gang raped for 3 hours and left for dead, you're not only going to call the police, you're going to do everything in your power to see to it that all of these young men suffer the consequence for their egregious behavior. Now, I understand if went out on a date with somebody and, you got drunk, they got drunk, you woke up and it looked like, gosh, there's more here than I remember. I don't remember consenting to this. I don't know why I ended up at his apartment. And I can see after that saying, how do I prove that I was raped? I don't even know what happened. But in this circumstance, no way. Returning to our story at the University of Virginia, no one knows, except the guys that would have been involved and this girl. What happened that night many years ago? She did not go to the police. She did not go to the hospital. She didn't even go to administration officials for a year thereafter. Was no investigation. Under that circumstance and the fact that her response after the event was bizarre, inconsistent with rational behavior. I understand it's a trauma if it occurred, but still, even after a trauma, if you've been traumatized in that way, you're mad as hell. You're going to seek vengeance, justice. Her response is irrational, inconsistent with anything that you would normally expect. Now, let's turn to the university. The University of Virginia has an honor code. I think 300 people over the past 200 years have been expelled from the university based upon the honor code. Not a single person for sexual abuse. Not one. The University of Virginia has a dean over such things, and when this girl eventually went to the dean said, you know, here are your options. You could go to the police, but, you know, what good is that going to do you now a year later? Or there are a couple of options within the university. One is we could have a meeting, you know, it'd be a public meeting. You get to state what you think happened, and we'll invite members of the fraternity in to tell their perspective on what happened that night a year or so ago, and you know, it'll be, you know, we'll have a jury of students, and they'll both hear both sides, and that's one of your options. I mean, can you imagine? The dean of a university saying that the university and its students are going to adjudicate a felony? It's just ludicrous. And then the girl said, you know, I'd like to know how many others have, because this can't be the first time they've done this, how many others have reported this? And she says, we don't keep statistics on that. Well, you know, have there been other hearings? Well, that would be private. We wouldn't share that. He says, well, why would you keep that private? Well, don't we have a right to know? They said, well, you know, no parent is going to send their child to rape you. So, no, we don't disclose that information. She'd gone through a series of seminars as to what to expect as a student, and none of the seminars focused on sexual assault and how to respond and what your options are. I mean, this university is screwed up. Now, part of the problem could well be that the administrators of the university are so steeped in political correctness that they couldn't exercise moral judgment if their lives depended upon it. Morality does not exist within political correctness. Exercising good judgment is frowned upon. Evidence and reason aren't considered because the university is so set on its socialist religion, its humanist religion, and its moral code where homosexuality is celebrated and diversity is celebrated, that it's incapable of determining what's appropriate morally. Huge possibility of that. But anyway, you have the president of the university, who's a fine example to the rest of the students, because she did not say that the dean, who said, we don't publish this because we don't want to be known as rape you. That dean kept her job. You know, if you have this kind of culture at a university, the appropriate thing to do is for the president of the university, a public institution in this case, to resign. She kept her job.
For the dean to say that, how bad is it? Like, how bad must it be?
You know, what I think is the case is that between high schools and colleges today, I think that grossly inappropriate sexual activity is completely off the charts bizarre. I think that political correctness and the moral code of socialist secular humanism has so destroyed a generation's ability to exercise restraint and moral judgment, both at the administration level and at the student level, that sexual abuse of all forms is rampant, and that they've become, both high schools and colleges have become cesspools of immorality. I think it is that bad. Now, in universities, I think you have a lot of things going on. One is a huge access to alcohol. And girls drinking even more than guys are drinking and putting themselves in very, very risky situations. You know, Heather Graham, the young lady that was murdered, abducted and murdered at the University of Virginia, I think she was also a freshman. She went to a series of parties by herself, poor choice. She's underage, and she got drunk. Bad choice. She is wearing skin-tight apparel. Bad choice. And she's out at 2 o'clock in the morning by herself, walking in a downtown area, drunk.
Which raises the question, like so many questions there.
Yes.
But if you're depraved coming out of high school, in that you're not going to get better once you get to college.
That is correct.
You get more freedom once you get to college. You get to do more and more. There's more, like I said, there's alcohol, there's drugs.
Correct.
You're starting
you have private
to
rooms. You know, you have your rooms, or you ain't your private rooms, but they're not under your parents'.
It would be like saying I have a drinking problem. I'm going to go to the bar and work this out.
Yeah. You know, and this girl now does. Clearly, girls are going to parties and getting drunk, and they're then getting raped. Appropriate to rape a drunk girl? Of course not. But is it appropriate to go to a party and get drunk so that you no longer have control over your environment? Of course not.
I know what the cause of people drinking more is. It's shots. People are doing more and more shots now. You go to bars, people are doing shots all the time.
Hard alcohol.
When I first started going to bars, you know, when I first started drinking, if you want to do a shot, you were doing a straight shot of, you know, well, we're going to do a shot of Jack Daniels, or we're going to do a shot of something. Now they're doing shots that are just as potent as that Jack Daniels, but it tastes like Kool-Aid. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's why people are drinking more and getting drunker.
Yeah, it's a bar that my son frequents at a Christian university. Their favorite drink is vodka with Skittles.
I thought you were going to say blood of Christ.
No, it's vodka with Skittles, and it has some kind of a sexual name to it. I've forgotten what it is, but it's a, you know, it's a sweet candy tasting. You know, vodka has no taste, and they serve it as shots over and over again, and it's inexpensive, and you know the. The purpose is to get drunk. The purpose isn't to enjoy a fine wine. The purpose isn't to investigate the various creativities that are poured into brewing now, where you have different hops and different yeasts and different malts and different processes, and the microbreweries are so interesting. Even the explosion of hard cider, you know, which is fermented and carbonated apple juice. You know, lots of things you can do socially. If you limit yourself to one drink, and it has beer and wine, it's, you know, 4 to 12% alcohol, and you have it with a meal over a period of time, you're going to be fine. But if you're drinking shots, no.
The reason is you know how beer is going to hit you. If you start doing shots, you don't really know how potent it is. You don't know,
right?
And you can do. You don't normally just do, you know, a shot where you know, I can sip a beer over 20 to 30 minutes, you know, or 45 minutes, you know. When you're doing a shot, it's boom, right there.
Boom.
It's done. And then 15 minutes later, boom, you do another one or something.
I was only once that I was violently ill in my 4 years in fraternity. On my 21st birthday, the guys took me out, and we did the 21... Boilermakers, which is a shot of tequila with a beer chaser. I had 21 of them. I don't know what happened the rest of the night, but I ended up waking up in the fraternity house dressed with the shower running over me.
Well, I can tell you what happened. My grandma would say, nothing good.
Nothing good happened. You know, I ended up in the shower fully dressed, it running, and I guess it was, you know, everybody else just said, well, we're too drunk to take care of you, but we put you in the shower with the water running, you know, you're going to keep you alive. That was stupid. You know, and since that time, I think I drank to the point of intoxication. You know, I'm back in my 20s here. This was 40 years ago. Maybe twice. And I came to realize, you know, I don't like being drunk. You not only ruin the next day, but you lose all control. It's a bad idea. But in the three times that I was drunk, it was always with friends. Was always somebody sober that could look out for us. And, you know, it's a big difference. You know, now with date rape drugs and the judgment of a girl going to a party like this, drinking from an open container by herself, and then going upstairs in a fraternity house, man, just a series of very, very poor decisions. Followed by the ultimate poor decision of not to deal with it. It's like America. We've got a huge problem with Islam. Nobody wants to deal with it. Let somebody else deal with it. So here's this article. It's reported by CNN. The University of Virginia is suspending all fraternities, and it's actually all fraternities and all sororities, although a sorority is technically a fraternity, and associated parties until January 9th, following a Rolling Stone magazine article that described a student's account of being gang raped and her frustration at trying to bring her alleged attackers to accountability. Bull.
Hard to do that.
That's her whole problem, is she didn't make an attempt.
Hard to do that without involving the legal system.
Correct. You know, she went to the administration a year later. She didn't go to the police. She didn't go to the hospital. If she was frustrated trying to bring her attackers to accountability, then she is solely to blame for that problem. And, by the way, you know, there is no evidence this occurred. None. Not a shred of evidence that this occurred. No DNA. No wounds, no proof of any kind, no testimony other than her own. She would have right now 0% chance successfully prosecuting any one of those alleged six guys. Zero. But yet you're acting in this way as a university without any evidence whatsoever. Proves my point that evidence and reason mean nothing to somebody who is that jaundiced, that polluted by political correctness. Quote, the wrongs described in the Rolling Stone are appalling and have caused all of us to reexamine our responsibility to this community, end quote, school president Teresa Sullivan wrote in a statement to the university community. Quote, rape is an abhorrent crime and has no place in the world, let alone on the campuses and grounds of our nation's colleges and universities, end quote. Our colleges and universities, you know, she sounds like Robert Griffin here that wants to blame everybody but herself. This is the University of Virginia. Your dean failed her. Your seminars introducing your students into the university failed her. Your outreach to students failed her. You failed her. Her parents failed her. Her friends failed her. But we don't know there was a rape. Rape's a bad thing. But we have no proof that it occurred in this case. And when you start responding when you have no evidence. No, the case down there in Florida State where Jameis Winston has DNA evidence that shows that he was absolutely with this girl, proved conclusively he was with this girl at the night that she says that she was sexually assaulted. Now, there's some evidence. He had a witness there that took pictures on his cell phone. Now, there's evidence. I mean, there's evidence. She went and she got a rape test that night. There's evidence. And he's still playing quarterback. And there's something seriously wrong with Florida State. When the young man is identified through DNA and the coaches don't even question him. He says, I don't want to talk to you. I want to arrange to have an attorney. At that point, if you're a university, under those circumstances, you say, young man, you're entitled to an attorney and to non-discrimination, self-incrimination in the court system. But you're not entitled to those rights as associated with this football program. So if you're going to hide behind your attorney, you're not going to address this. You're out of here. Goodbye. Don't let the door hit you on the behind on the way out. Now, that's a circumstance where the football team, the football coach, the president of the university, and the athletic director all ought to be fired. And everybody at ESPN and all of the sports networks that talk about this kid and that voted him the Heisman, they ought to all lose their vote and they ought to be fired. There's evidence, even though it didn't go to court. There's even police investigations and the testimony that you can read. But in this case, you got nothing. You have absolutely nothing. You can't react without evidence. What's wrong with America's universities? And I would dare tell you that we know what's wrong with America's universities, and that's what's wrong with America. We'll be back after the news and commercial break.